Welcome back once again to Search the Scriptures. So good to have all of our listeners with us again today. So wonderful to have the opportunity to open up God's Word and study together once again. We try to present an atmosphere in the program, as we've talked about many times, that kind of makes you feel like we're sitting around the kitchen table together with all of us with our Bibles open and studying God's Word together. We want you to feel at ease. We want you to feel comfortable as we open up God's Word each day here in Search the Scriptures and dig a little bit deeper. We want to help you come to God. We want to help you grow your faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. So the best thing that we can do is help you understand God's Word better. So we do, on this program, as the name suggests, we search the Scriptures. We dig deep, we look at it in detail, but we try to explain it in a way that is easy to understand and that makes sense for your daily life. We want to help you grow your faith again. And in helping your faith develop stronger and stronger, we're helping you come closer to God. At least that's our prayer and our hope. It should happen that way. It should be a natural effect, a natural result of your faith growing stronger. And as you make up your mind that you want to come to God through His Son, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then as you repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ as God's Son and your Savior, and surrender to Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, you're reborn spiritually. As Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 5, must happen. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So you have that opportunity to be born again, to get a new start, a new chance. And you become a new creation from a spiritual perspective, as the Apostle Paul states in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We want to help you have eternal life. Be with God in heaven forever and ever. And that comes as you come to Him through your Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ, and surrender to Him in baptism at that point that the blood of Jesus shed on the cross so long ago is still completely effective to cleanse you of the guilt of your sins. That price has already been paid. And so at that point, you're forgiven, you're redeemed, you're born again, you come into Christ, you start a new life with a new direction, and that's heaven, and a new hope, not just a wish or wild dream, but an expectation, and that's eternal life in heaven. Oh, the best life that anybody can live in this world is the Christian life. We want to help you enjoy all that that life has to offer. So many people are missing out. At the end of the program today, we'll tell you how to contact us, as we always do, and you can jot down that information, so have a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper ready, and jot down that information and then contact us. Ask for the free Bible study that we always offer. We mean free. We don't want you to send us anything. We'll take care of even the postage. You can also receive a copy of today's program on CD. And again, don't send us anything. Just ask for it. We'll send it to you. It's free, and we'll take care of the postage. So have that pencil or pen and piece of paper ready, and you can jot down that information in just a little while. And we're going to get back into our study about attitude, specifically asking the question, what is your attitude? A whole lot of people have a real problem with attitude, negative attitude. Now, some people are unrealistically, somewhere up in the clouds, they have an attitude that they're going to be able to do things that are absolutely just unreasonable. Somewhere in between the two extremes, we need to come to what God expects of us and what God makes the way for us to be able to have in by way of attitude. We need to have a positive attitude, but it needs to be a realistic attitude based on a mindset that comes through faith that develops through learning God's Word. So God says, I'm your God. I'm your creator. I want to be your heavenly Father. I sent my Son to die on the cross as your Savior. I want you to come to me through him. And in him, you can be forgiven. You can be redeemed. You can have salvation and eternal life. I did that for you because I love you so much. John 3 and verse 16. But he leaves the decision, the choice, up to us because he created us as free moral agents with free will. But choices bear consequences. So he tells us, I've made the way for you to come and be with me in heaven forever. And that's the consequence or the reward for following me according to my will. But the other side of the spectrum is if you choose to not follow me, then there's another place that is prepared, and that's a place of eternal condemnation and destruction. He leaves the choice up to you and to me. In this particular study, we're asking, what is your attitude? What is your attitude about God? Some people are quite disdainful, quite disrespectful of God for one reason or another, or maybe just out of carelessness. What is your attitude about the Savior, Jesus Christ? Now, many people, they just simply don't think about God much. They don't think about Jesus much. They don't want to because they realize that they're living a life of sinfulness, and they don't want to think about the responsibility of being faithful or the consequences of being unfaithful to God and to Christ. So they just kind of push God, they push their Savior out of their minds, and it's kind of the mindset that out of sight, out of mind, and if you don't think about it, it's not going to be. Well, that is not valid reasoning. There are consequences to choices. There are consequences to attitude. Attitude reflects a mindset, and attitude is, you know, often leads to some outward manifestations that can bear consequences. What's your attitude? Do you believe in God? Do you believe you ought to be faithful to God? Do you believe in Christ as your Savior? Do you believe you ought to follow your Savior? What about the church? Now, a whole lot of people would say, well, I believe in God, I believe in Christ, I don't need the church. They have a really careless attitude about the church that God sent Christ to this earth to establish, that is repeatedly referred to as the body of Christ. That is that place or that community into which the Lord himself places the saved. Acts 2 and verse 47. The Lord added to the church day by day those who were being saved. And yet a lot of people think they don't need the church. Really careless and poor attitude. And what about the gospel? The gospel plan of salvation. What's your attitude about that? God sent his Son to bring that message of forgiveness and salvation to mankind so that we would have a hope, have an opportunity to be forgiven, to be redeemed, to be saved, to have eternal life, to walk with God in faithfulness. Do you even know what the gospel is? Have you obeyed the gospel? So, God is a perfect God, and his law is perfect. He sent his perfect Son to be the perfect Savior and the perfect sacrifice. And his Son brought us the perfect law of liberty, which is the gospel of Christ, to free us from the guilt and condemnation of our sins. And Jesus established the perfect church, perfect in purpose and design from God himself. But now, he did all of that. He established that perfect church for an imperfect people. Because you see, we need that perfect message of salvation, the gospel. We needed that perfect sacrifice on the cross to pay for the guilt of our sins. So we needed a perfect Savior. And he was sent from the perfect God, perfect in his love for us, because we're sinners outside of Christ. We've looked at numerous passages of Scripture that reference all of these points that we've just talked about in rather short order. We are, outside of Christ, sinners in need of forgiveness and redemption, in need of salvation. And that's why God, in his love, sent Jesus to be our Savior, to be that perfect sacrifice, to bring that perfect message of forgiveness, of salvation, which is the gospel, and to establish that perfect church for us, an imperfect people. Now, the good news is that in Christ, we can be forgiven. As we studied in our last program, we can be made perfect spiritually. Hebrews 12 and verse 23, as we are baptized into Christ, and the blood that he shed on the cross cleanses us of the guilt of our sins. Acts 22 and verse 16. He told the apostles to carry that message, to teach it everywhere throughout the world, and he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 15 and 16. And as we closed our program last time, we really got into some exciting passages of Scripture, like John 3 and verses 3 through 5, where Jesus told Nicodemus that except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's a requirement, that we must be born again through Christ. But see, look at it from this point of view. He's saying we can be born again. We can get a start over. And then also 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, where Paul says that all who are in Christ have become a new creation. A new creation. Again, a new person. The idea again of being a start, getting a start over. A new lease on life, literally, and this time on eternal life. And Paul goes on there in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Wow, that is exciting. We get a new chance if we'll come to Christ, if we'll come to God through our Savior, if we'll come to him his way, we get a new chance. We get to become a new person from a spiritual perspective. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 21, Paul wrote this along these lines. He says, indeed, you have heard him, or rather, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, that is, your old lifestyle, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We look also in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we want to look at verses 19 through 23 here. And here Paul wrote, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, that is, God sent Christ to this earth to bring a message of reconciliation. Now, to reconcile means to be brought back into a right relationship with someone or something. And, of course, this is talking about being reconciled, brought back into a right relationship with God through Christ, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Jesus went to the cross to give us that opportunity of reconciliation with God. And you, who once were alienated, Paul goes on to write, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, Oh, that's all mankind, isn't it? Because of sin. Again, Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23. But here, Paul says, you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, your sin, yet now he has reconciled, brought back to God in the body of his flesh through death, Christ's death on that cross, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Now, when we're baptized into Christ, as we noted a few moments ago, according to Acts 22 and verse 16, our sins are washed away. According to Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, we come into salvation. According to Romans 6 and verse 3 and Galatians 3 and verse 27, we're baptized into Christ. We come into Christ. So to present you holy and blameless, forgiven in other words, given a second chance, above reproach in his sight. Now here's a big word in verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So, if you will obey the gospel, if anyone will have the attitude, I want what God offers me, I want what Jesus was sent to this earth to bring me the opportunity to embrace and enjoy, I want to be forgiven, I want to be saved, I want to walk with God, then you have the opportunity. You can be made new. You can be given that new start. You can come into Christ. You can become a new person. Someone says, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what my life has been like. I could say the same thing about my life before I came to Christ. And you know what? Everybody could say the same thing. And let me tell you, there are countless people who have been extremely wicked, evil in their previous lives, who had their lives turned around when they came to Christ and surrendered to him in baptism for the remission of their sins. Now, might they still have to bear some consequences of that old life? Sure. Some have been in jail, and they had to finish out their terms. But they could do that with the realization that they were no longer those people that they used to be. They had been given forgiveness, a new life, and a new hope. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul said, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. You see, we have the opportunity, when we have become reconciled to God, when we have been forgiven, when we have come to salvation and been promised eternal life, we have the opportunity then to live our lives by a new pattern, a perfect pattern, a guideline that God has communicated to us and laid out for us in his word. Now we can say simply, living by his teachings. And as we live our lives faithfully by God's word, as we live before him in dedication and service and faithfulness on a daily basis, then we can have the promise. We can have not just a wild hope, unrealistic hope, some kind of wild dream of eternal life, but we can have the hope that means the desire plus the expectation of being with God and Christ forever in heaven. Now, following that perfect pattern, those guidelines that tell us how to live the Christian life, we live the best life that any human being can live with the greatest hope. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul said, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." And in Colossians 1 and verse 28, Paul wrote, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Now, did you ever think that you could be looked upon by God as having been made perfect? From a spiritual perspective, no matter what you have done in the past, God offers you the opportunity to be made perfect in Christ and through Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 15, "And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete." Now the King James Version says, "perfect," thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us the perfect roadmap to live by, the perfect pattern to follow, the perfect guideline to live our lives by. It's His Word, the Bible. Now, in order to enjoy all that He offers us through our perfect Savior, we must come to our Savior. We must come to God through Him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He says, "Come to me." That's called the great invitation. God offers us hope. He offers us a new start, a new life. But we've got to leave that old life behind us. We've got to come to Him. He offers us salvation. Now, the church comes into play here because, again, in Acts 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So you cannot have God, you cannot have Christ without also embracing the church. The church is part of that whole equation, if you would, of salvation, God's way for our salvation. What's your attitude? Do you want what God has to offer you? Are you willing to humble yourself, to be obedient to His teachings, to be faithful to Him and to His Son, your Savior? Are you willing to humble yourself enough to take your place in the church that Jesus died to establish on this earth? In just a minute, we'll tell you how you can contact us and ask for the free Bible study that will help you understand this perhaps more fully as you read it for yourself in God's Word. The study is free, and we'll take care of the postage. You can receive a copy of today's program on CD for free, and again, we'll take care of the postage. We'll continue this study next time. We hope to hear from you right away.